Online 24/7. This is the radio industry's very own radio station. In Radio.
Hello and welcome to Third Sector on In Radio. I'm Dom, and it seems to me that the last time I did this programme, it was the depths of winter. So nothing new from me for a while. However, I haven't been caught in some hibernation slumber, and lack of fresh material from me does not indicate my busyness, as I've headed out into the country, microphone as always at the ready. It's just that I've been extremely preoccupied with setting up my new charity, which is an education trust, about which more on another occasion. As for this occasion, well, on the programme today, Anna Wynne Roberts on the Reporting Faith event that I attended in Cardiff, Emma Meese on the Centre for Community Journalism, and Martin Steers, who is organising the Community Radio Awards for 2017, tells me all the latest goings on as he opens up this year for entries.
We are In Radio.
One of the many things that interests me at grassroots level, quite apart from, of course, community broadcasting, is faith and faith groups. So it was with a number of areas of my interest and microphone, I headed over to the Reporting Faith event at BBC Wales in Cardiff.
My name's Anna Wynne Roberts, and I'm the project manager for NUJ Training Wales.
Now, you've got a lot of representatives of faith here today, a lot of journalists. What is the purpose of today's event, Reporting Faith?
Well, this is the second event of its kind that we've held. It was set up really to try and help journalists improve their understanding of issues around religion and faith. And also, we thought it was a unique opportunity to bring together different members of those faith groups and journalists together so they could have some form of a debate. Today is a follow-on session that's addressing some of the feedback we got from that first event, which was that they wanted more time to debate the issues.
And from that first event, do you feel that then connections have been firmed up between journalists and faith at perhaps a grassroots level?
I'm hoping so. We gave opportunity really for networking sessions during that event, break times. We provide name badges so that people can seek out people they specifically want to work with. There's also been some follow-up from it in that some of the speakers that came in that first event were then invited back by other media organisations here in Cardiff to speak to all their journalists. And I think what's constantly being pushed by those journalists who have presented and spoken at these events is that they have to make time to forge relationships and to engage with the communities and get a relationship of trust going.
And where do you feel that is with, say, BBC local radio at the moment?
I heard a programme on BBC Radio Wales a few months ago that was dealing with an issue around Islam, and they had gone to an incredible effort to tap into different segments of women from different segments of Islamic society in Cardiff, and that was really, really positive. And I'd like to think that from now on, journalists are going to try and do that every time they're doing stories on a community.
We've got community journalism being represented here this afternoon. How do you feel that we can further links at grassroots journalism level with grassroots faith level?
Well, interestingly, there are quite a lot of community journalism projects going on amongst the faith groups, and I think it's up to the community journalists to find out who they are, where they're working, and forge those links. All we can do is set this up, a forum which will facilitate and enable them then to do all the hard work themselves. But there are some grassroots faith groups doing their own community journalism, and it would be really good for the two groups to link up.
Well, thanks for your time today.
Okay, you're welcome.
And that was such an interesting day, bringing journalists and faith groups together. And I think what was really important was that for the faith groups, it was very much emphasised that the media aren't just one lot who are there to report negatively, pandering to perhaps the worst common denominators of what we think of as the media. There's a lot of opportunities here in the UK for faith groups to get their voices heard in positive media context. And of course, I felt bound to mention that there are 245 community radio stations operating right now in the UK. But also, one of the purposes of the event was to make sure that journalists knew the routes in to reporting faith accurately and without bias.
This is the radio industry's very own radio station. 24/7 in radio.
One of the things I like to do on a fairly frequent basis is to get out into the country and find out what is going on with the rapidly developing area of community or grassroots media. Organisations, it seems, are sprouting up on a nearly weekly basis. Much like media itself, it is a fast-moving landscape, and it is all that I can do to keep up with it. A few weeks ago, I headed into deep southeast London and Goldsmiths College for the annual Community Journalism Conference. With my third sector mic at the ready, it was great catching up with old friends. And one particular is Emma Mees, who I remember well from my time at the Community Media Association. Now, Emma is the director for the Centre of Community Journalism at Cardiff University, and that is an organisation which is increasingly rising to national note, as one of the many areas of development in the media is the area of hyperlocal journalism. I began my conversation with Emma by asking where her organisation had come from, and indeed, where's it going?
We set up just almost 5 years ago, and the centre was set up in response to what was happening in the local news sector. So plenty of people are complaining about the death of local journalism and papers closing. And as a direct result of that, Cardiff University School of Journalism decided to put its money where its mouth is and to say, well, why don't we see if we can help the new emerging landscape of community publications that are springing up everywhere and see if we can help nurture and support them and see if we can help, you know, new publications to blossom at a time where there's such concern about local journalism.
And you're planning that you're first of all looking at a network concept with an advisory body, but the plan might be to turn that into a governing body.
Yes, so basically we are launching ICNN, which is the Independent Community News Network, and there's a reason it's a network to start with, not a body, because it's going to be completely and wholly funded and run and administered by Cardiff University. So initially we had planned on having a governing body to start with, but actually, you know, it's going to be very difficult to be able to govern what the university does, but it can certainly advise. So we're going to have an advisory board which will be elected by the members, and then in time, if we feel that it's the right thing to do, if the members feel it's the right thing to do, then the network might morph into or become an entity in its own right.
There's a great deal of interest in hyperlocal journalism at the moment, almost as a sort of counterbalance perhaps to globalisation and the whole changing kind of world of commercial media as well. You're involved with young people at a university. If a young career aspirant very interested in the written word is thinking, I want a career in journalism, what would you say to them, perhaps within the context of localised journalism?
I think it's still a really exciting place to be. You've just got to look at it in a completely different way. When I started 20, however many years ago, as a reporter on the Carmarthen Journal, it was just completely different. You know, the only tools of my trade were my notepad, my pen and my feet. And that's all I had. There was no internet, there was no phones, there was nothing else. And I had, you know, a really good popular local newspaper. And that's just not the case anymore. But what we are seeing is a huge emergence of entrepreneurs. You know, entrepreneurial journalism is a phrase I'm hearing more and more often, up there with data journalism and all the other kinds of journalism. And I think for ones that want to go into universities and train as a journalist, I think the opportunities are still massive. You know, there's so many more opportunities to work with the written word now than there was ever when I started, even though that the local newspaper scene was thriving back then.
Emma, always a pleasure talking to you. I'd love to join your network personally, so do send me the invitation when it's ready. In the meantime, many thanks for talking to Third Sector.
Excellent, thank you.
Emma Mees talking to me there at the Community Journalism Conference back in April, I think it was. As it happens, I was at an event in Cardiff just a few days ago, and I bumped into Emma and I asked her for a quick update on how the Independent Community News Network was getting on, and she said it was very near to inviting people to become members. I expressed my own keenness in terms of I wanted to be 001 member. She said unfortunately that position had already been taken by herself, so I look forward to my membership 002. Meanwhile, if anyone is interested to hear more about the Centre for Community Journalism, then the address is communityjournalism.co.uk.
We are in radio.
Joining me now is Martin Steers from the Community Radio Awards. Well into 2017 now, Martin. What's been going on?
Well, we've been developing them, growing and tweaking them ahead of them launching a few days ago.
Okay, so that's very exciting. What is the call to action for people?
Well, the big call of action is head to communityradioawards.org.uk/enter, because that'll have all the details of the award categories and the details of what's involved in actually putting a submission together and how to enter. People have between now and the 30th of June to submit their entries.
Have there been any changes in the category between this year and last year?
Yes, we've tweaked a couple of the categories. I think we've removed one, maybe two, but then we've also added a couple as well. The big headline changes, really, are we've tweaked the Young Person of the Year to be under 25. We've added a Sage Person of the Year. And we've added two new awards, which are open to non-Ofcom licensed stations. Well, one of them is open to non-Ofcom community radio licensed stations, and one of them is open to anyone. The first one is Community Radio Station of the Year, non-licensed, and this is aimed for sort of internet radio stations, small-scale DAB, RSL stations. And the only proviso for that is you need to be a member of the Community Media Association. And then the other one, which is in essence open to any community media organisation, is podcast. And again, you just need to be a member of the CMA. So you could be an Ofcom licensed station or just a community media organisation.
So SAGE means, of course, you're immensely wise, but could you give a kind of age guide to that particular category?
Yes, it's basically anyone over the age of 60.
Okay.
We oohed and aahed a lot about what we should call it, and in the end we adopted for Sage Person, and I think we actually, I'll be honest, took it from, I think, Wicker's World. They use a similar title to denote age.
Excellent. Well, we know what it means. That's the crucial thing. And, of course, you're now targeting these awards to all ends of the age demographics, which is great.
Absolutely. One of the feedback we got was, whilst people love the Young Person of the Year, they felt that we needed an award to celebrate those of the older generation who are still involved in community radio. And we thought it was only appropriate to have an award like that.
Now, we know in community radio that we have key commitments. We must do good deeds, if you like, and achieve levels of social cohesion and social gain. How is that aspect of the community broadcast sector reflected in these awards?
Well, in a way, it's loosely reflected across all of the awards, because nearly all the awards, as part of their criteria, talk about identification and engagement of the target community. I would argue that even a specialist entertainment show or a specialist community show has a role in social development. But more specifically, we have a Community Development Project of the Year award explicitly targeting those social game projects that stations run. We have Community Show, and then also we have the Innovation Award, which we have tweaked slightly to explicitly talk about either technical, social gain, community development, or entrepreneurial and business. And if we get lots of entries into that category, we may in fact split them out into those separate areas.
Last year we had a tremendous award ceremony, and lots of us gathered up at the University of Birmingham on the back of the National Community Media Conference Day. Have you got any plans for this year as yet?
We have got plans afoot, but I don't think they've completely been announced at this stage. But watch this space soon. We are still partnering with the Community Media Association, and the awards are going to be in September at the end of their community media conference again.
And are you offering any sponsorship opportunities?
Yes, we have one or two sponsors already that we're looking forward to announcing very soon. But we are looking for organisations that support the awards and what we're trying to do, and community radio, to come on board and help support individual awards or the awards as an entire process. And we're looking for opportunities to support what we do so we can keep the cost of the awards down, but also so we can try and give sort of prizes or benefits to those people who receive the awards.
And if people want to know more about that, where do they go to?
They can just head to communityradioawards.org.uk or email info@communityradioawards.org.uk.
Now, Martin, you mentioned that you want to try and keep the cost of entries low and the cost of laying on the awards. How much will it in fact be to enter an award?
So our awards are £5 per entry. And we've tried to keep that price. In fact, I think it might be the cheapest of all the industry awards. And it's designed that low so that individual volunteers could pay for their own awards if they wanted, or if stations are putting a panel of awards together, it doesn't cost them hundreds and hundreds of pounds to do.
And finally, I'm sure we'll talk again, Martin, as we go through the period of people sending in their nominations. But what are you most looking forward to about the 2017 Community Radio Awards?
I'm really looking forward to another year of celebrating fantastic work that Community Radio does and its volunteers who are involved in it. We found off the back of the 2016 awards that a lot of stations were using nominations or a bronze, silver and gold to get a lot of press coverage or engagement with their local council and their local community to really use their awards to showcase what they're doing in their local area. And we want more of that and more stations to be involved and more entries.
So these awards really strengthen the case for community radio with local supporters as well as national supporters.
Absolutely. The main point of the awards is to showcase and promote the great work that community radio does. The secondary benefit is about bringing like-minded people together to share best practice and to promote the development of community radio.
Fine ethics, I think, to bring our discussion today to an end, but good luck with the awards and keep in touch with the Third Sector podcast.
Fantastic. We look forward to having you guys involved.
Online 24/7, this is the radio industry's very own radio station. In Radio.
Exciting times as many of us in the 245 licensed community radio stations in the UK look forward to a second year of the Community Radio Awards. And don't forget, you have until the end of June to get your entries in. Martin, rounding up nicely for us this outing of Third Sector on In Radio, and my thanks to him, as well as Anna Wynne Jones and Emma Mees. I'm Dom Chambers, and I hope to see some of you at the Radio Academy's Radio Festival, as well as the next Radio Hub meeting at Wickham Sound in High Wickham, both of those coming towards the end of June. If you have an event or you'd like to tell us what's going on across the whole Third Sector spectrum in media, then you can get in touch with me via my daytime job, which is manager at Summer, S-O-M-E-R, summervalleyfm.co.uk. That's manager at summervalleyfm.co.uk. And I'll catch you next time.